I'm a base. Mosiv Rabo. This is about six lines after the two dots. So we're grappling with this when the person makes these type of declarations of kol hazon in a mafsid, is that considered an act of shlichus or not? So the Mora says, you see, by Shabbos, it's kol machaba in a mafsid, which is the exact same type of language, kol hazon in a mafsid, kol machaba in a mafsid. It's only special hetzer by the leika, which means in the case normally it's considered shlichus. The Mora says, yeah, by Shabbos it's a problem, but not by over here. Mosav Rab. So Rab asks the question. Mishin Nadorim says, Amur ha'no mechaveroi ve'en lo ma'yechol. So Reuben cannot benefit from Shivan. He's Amur ha'noash. And Reuben doesn't have what to eat. Shimon wants to provide Reuben with his needs. But Shimon can't, Reuben can't get Hanor from Shimon. So what do you do? So Yelech Yeltsich and Bani Arogel Etzloi. Shimon goes to the store where Reuben normally purchases his items. V'yermaloi, Ish Ploni Mudr Hanor Mimeni. And so Shimon tells the storekeeper that Reuben is Mudr Hanor from him. V'ni Deyamai Esaloi. And I don't know what to do. So who knows in loy? So now the Chinvani understands the hint and provides Reuben for his needs. Then he goes to Shimon. So it sounds like that Hachi Hu Deshori, only this type of language is permitted, where he did not give him any directive at all. He just said, he said two facts. Reuben is Reuben offering me. I don't know what to do. And the storekeeper understands the hint is that he's supposed to take care of it and he'll give him something. But it sounds like Alba Kolazon in a mafsid loy. But if he says Kolazon in a mafsid, where he's indicating that he's saying that the Chevoni should give him, he's not giving him a directive, but he's saying that if you do it, I will take care of it. So that's in some way considered, the Chinvani is considered his shliach. The Mora says no.
But in the... I'm sorry, not clear about the pronouns here. Who knows him, love, love, and notes only that. I mean, it's...
The Chinvani gives.
The Chinvani gives first.
He goes to Chabani and tells Chabani that Reuben needs his needs. So Chabani supplies Reuben's needs, and then Chabani goes and gets from Shimon. So Mora says, no, let me boy comer. Over here it's the opposite. The point over here is that it's telling me a chiddush. Let me boy kolazon in a mafsid. Kolazon in a mafsid is permitted Not only that is permitted, why is that permitted? The La'alma Komar, that's a general statement said, not directed to any individual. Like the person is he just makes an announcement of Kolazon and Umafsid, and then somebody on their own volition hears that declaration and goes and does it. Awahai, Kiman Derogal Etzloy. Because also Kamerlei, here the person, this is the regular Chinvani, and he comes and tells him, you know, Reuben has a problem. Like, what's he doing? Obviously, he's telling him to do it. So here, it's much more specific. So I would have assumed in that situation, command Omerlei zil havlei at dummy. It's like if this should have the halach, its equivalent is if he's telling him go give it, which would be make it usher. Kamash Malon, then that's mutter. And in that situation, Pasha's this up to the Gemara is that the only way you can do that is by saying any day my esola, because anything more explicit than that is going to be considered a shlichus. Okay. Let's see Rashi. Well, Parnas love Shechusei Obed. It's about halfway down the Rashi's. Parnas love Shechusei Obed. But to me, it's read as a question. So what do we accomplish? Nimsa over El Nidroi. He can't give his wife benefit, and here he is giving his wife benefit through his shliach. The Gemara says Kolazon. He says Kolazon and Mafsid. The Gemara says that's not considered shlichus. In the case of a person who's mushluch in the bor, it says Kol Shemei Karlo Yichta. Excuse me. Re'el Yichta v'Yitnu. Abagav Dali Amrle the Sefer Ksayv. He didn't give a direct command of Ksayv. He just said Kol Shemei Karlo. Whoever hears, you know, do it. Sachinami, Avagav Le'omerle Zoin, Shluchehu. So the Mor is asking that over here, it should be considered a Shliach and should be answered. The Mor answers, Hasum Kamer Yichtoiv, Loshim Savoa, Lashemea Kerli. He's saying, whoever hears my voice should do this. Over here, they're saying, I'm not commanding direct, I'm not saying what a person should do. Call it Zoin. That it says Yizoin, he's saying Kolazon. Someone who does it, this is what will happen. That's not shlichus. The Mor says, well, the lake at Tirulaimer b'Shabbos, the Chazal were matter by the case of the lake to tell the goy that Kol Mekabe Eidu Mafsid. The B'Tech Shalom Bol Amamaynoi Eloi Shavisalei. The Chazal had to be matter this. Because we're afraid that since people are so concerned and overwhelmed about their money, if you're not going to permit certain ways, also the Kabbalah, he's going to end up just putting out the fire himself. It says only by the lake. Sounds like lav. Isn't it true? Lemutei ki agavna b'chol yisurin shavatar. It's coming to exclude other yisurin that such a language is considered shlichus. Versus no, it's coming to exclude shari siri shabbos. The chamiri. Shabbos is chomer, but loy hitir behen loymer ha'oiseli melachas zu enu mafsid. By other melachas, this language is not permitted. That whoever does this will not be reimbursed. K'nesh yishmu avdei chachamim v'yasu. In order that the goyim should hear and do, so that would be that's osur. Avin adorim loy gozer, but that iser they did not apply to a case of an eder. Okay. The Mor says that Kolazon and Mafsid has an advantage of the Alma Kamer. Lo Dama L'Shlichus Klal. It's nothing to do with Shlichus. Lo Yichan Ish La Soisoi. He has no specific individual he's telling it to, but he's saying a broad statement. Kolazon and Mafsid, whoever it is. In the case of Chavoni Rogel Etzloi, where there's a specific individual that he's conversing with and hinting to the directive. I think that's considered his shliach and it's also okay.
So we appoint, let's say, Rabbi Rosenbaum to sell chametz for us. So we do a kinyan suda. How necessary is that?
Okay, it's a good question. The Rambam says that which we do a kinyan suda when you appoint a shliach. It's not necessary, Mikra Adin. We do a Lechizu Kamil Di Mechazik, but if not, let's say the situation would be last minute situation, a person couldn't get to the Rav, they want to give him a directive over the phone. We would assume that that's considered valid Shlichus. He didn't do a Kenyan with him. But that's valid.
Lechazu Kamil is to. Ensure that there is no sort of contesting of that after the fact. Because if you had a conversation over the phone, maybe it's a little ambiguous.
He doesn't say really, you know, exactly what the is. I'm not sure his issue is to prevent any dispute. He's just saying this is the whole we want to ensure that you want to say that your shlichus is. You're serious about it. The fact that you did a kinyan is indicative of the fact that you're serious about it. He says otherwise it doesn't make any sense. He says, what exactly? There's no. What is the Kenyan doing? It has no function. Not being mocked him anything with the Kenyan. In other words, as a function as a Kenyan, it doesn't make any sense. That's what Rambam was grappling with.
You're being mocked on rights.
It's not really rights. It's he doesn't have rights. He has you're giving him a power. But it's not a haknoa. Parsha shalich is when I make a shliach. It's not a Kenyan, it's not a haknoa concept. It's a new parsha called shlichus. It doesn't work with the halachas of kinyanim.
So a star would work too, or with any, even without correspondence. I know sometimes things, I don't know, like lead into another area, but like emails or something like that, or forms that you fill out.
That's what there's definitely some person, I think that's the assumption, the standard assumption that will work as well. Appoint by filling up a form on the online, some type of thing. Okay. Gufa. Hamura Hano Mechaveira Vein Lama Yoecho. So this discussion really, we're going to learn the dorm now for a little bit. It's not really part of the conversation over here. You look in this and you're getting a shas. He sends it to Rashi in Sukkah Yudalad. The Rashi says over there, like, why we just. Rashi in Sukkah says, the more it goes off of the discussion, the more quotes of something in Mishnah and Taharis, and then it starts discussing the Mishnah and Taharis. So Rashi says, like, why are we discussing it here? There's no Shaykh to discuss it. Since there's no Gemara on Masechta Taharis, it was a good excuse to discuss it over here. So the Gideon over here says, that doesn't work by Nadorim. You can just have the conversation in Masechta Taharis. We have a Gemara in Nadorim. Okay. So we quoted that the person's mutter hanom echavera. If Shimon, if we said the case we had was that Reuven can't benefit from Shimon, but Reuven doesn't have what to eat, so halach etzachamoni rogel etzlo. Shimon will go to Reuven's regular shopkeeper, v'amaloi, and Shimon will tell the chavoni, each plenty mutter hanom imani, so and so Reuven is. It's also to have an offer for me, Shimon. But I don't know what to do for Reuven. The Chavoni will give to Reuven. We'll come back to. We'll be reimbursed from Shimon. He needs to build his house or fix his house. He needs to fix a fence. Sadeo Lixer, he needs workers to reap his field. So Helach Etzel Perlim, or Gilim Etzel, he goes to the workers which normally work for Reuven. Barmelahem, he says to the workers, each plenty would have many. Many. Veridea my Esseloi, Reuven can't have enough of me, and I don't know what to do. His roof looks horrible, he needs to fix the roof. I don't know what to do. Veridea my Esseloi. So they go and work for Reuven, and they go get paid from Shimon. So they're traveling, and Reuven's food ran out. So Shimon will give food to Levi as a present. And then Levi will allow Reuven to eat. Umutzer, that's permitted. Remain Shamacher. It's only Reuven and Shimon. So now what do we do? Menich Agabi Hasela Agabi Hageder. He takes the food, puts it down on a rock, or on a stone wall, a fence. Vermer Harein Hemufkar and the Chol Misha Yachbitz. They are Mufkar. They're Hefkar. Reuven takes it and eats it. Mutter, and the Tanakhama says that's a mutter. Rabbi Yossi is oyster. Rabbi Yossi says that case is us. Amar Rava, my time of Rabbi Yossi, why would Rabbi Yossi say the case is Asr? Gezerah Mishum Maisa the Beis Charon. The reason why the case is Asr is because of the story which took place in Beis Charon. Okay, and the Masechet Sadorim, one Rashi, the top Rashi on Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, not Rashi says, Maisa the Beis Charon, Ben Adorim, Perek Hashutin. So what's the Maisa the Beis Charon? Maisa the Beis Charon was a case where an individual, a man, had made his son, one of his sons, also to have any benefit from him. I guess they had some type of falling out. The father asked all of his property, everything that he had, on his son. That he's making a chasna for another child, and he wants that child to be able to come and join the chasna, but the father's paying for the chasna. So the other son can't come. The mutter hanoa can't come because he can't have any benefit from the father. So he goes over to a stranger. He says, everything about the chasna belongs to you. All of the food, everything, he's marked of the whole chasna, all of the everything, all of the food, etc., belongs to this individual. So the father has marked everything to this individual. So now his son, father's son, can come and eat from the chasna. It belongs to Beryl. Beryl says, great, it's mine. It's all hektish. So the father says, I didn't give you everything in my possession, everything from the chasna, that you should make a hektish to Shemayim. He says, yeah, no, you did it then. You did it for a different reason, because you wanted that your son should come and it should be also to do an aveira, and I should be responsible. If it's truly mine, I can do whatever I want with it. If you say you can't do whatever I want with it, it means that it's not truly mine. It's not truly mine. So then your son can't eat from it. So you want me to be the vehicle to do an aveira? So the Mora says, it's a klal. Any matana which you give to somebody, which you cannot be, the person cannot be makdish it afterwards, any matana. Right. So that the Mora says that the Beryl was right. That, you know, if the father, I mean, obviously it's not what the father wanted, but tough luck, you know. If he couldn't, he didn't really mean to be makdish it, he just wanted to bring out that you're not really giving it to me. So, the more thing over here that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi learns the pshat in Rabbi Yossi, is that we're concerned over here that this act of hefker isn't the true act of hefker. He only means to be mafker vis-a-vis Reuven. So, hefker means it's mutter to any individual in the world. So they're traveling along, and Shimon does this, and all of a sudden, you know, Levi's hiding behind the rock and says, oh, great! He grabs it. Well, I didn't mean to mock him because of that. Well, then it'd be us, sir. It's my food. I don't want to give it to this guy hiding behind the rock. I meant to give it to Reuven. Ah, so it means you're not really being mafkir.
But the rock was only when it was no other person.
Right.
But not a third person.
I understand, but the point I'm saying is, let's say all of a sudden, you know, as he says that, you know, this guy Levi comes running up. He would grab it because it's hefker. Shimon would say no. What do you mean? Say no. It's not yours. They say no. Elamai, what? You really weren't ready. It wasn't a true hefker. So we tell him that the law says that it must be a true bona fide hefker, and we're afraid that that's not what's going to happen. So I don't know why this conversation is here. I mean, that's to that new Gemara, like. It's a clarification. Now, why is Rebbe saying this? Because there's another explanation over there, the more in the Dorim, in Rebbe Yossi. That Rebbe Yossi says that Rebbe Yossi and the Chacham are arguing on how Hefker works. When you're mafker something, is the understanding that it becomes immediately ownerless? And that's what Hefker is. Hefker is it doesn't belong to anybody. So, very good. Shimon's item, Shimon's mafker, is no longer Shimon's item. So Reuven is benefiting from Hefker. Or is the understanding of hefker. The hefker is that it's Shimon's item, and hefker is it's the owner's items as still. Just, there's now a heter netila, any individual in the world can take it and use it. That's what hefker is. Is hefker basically a heter netila to the world, or is hefker an act which allows the person to make something ownerless? So if it becomes ownerless, so then it's mutter. Right? It's not Shimon's anymore. But if all it is a heter netilah, it's Shimon's item, which anybody in the world can take. So now when Rumi takes it, he's taking Shimon's item.
So he's willing to share it, sort of like he's willing to share it with the world.
That's what Hefker is, right?
Yes.
So that's how the Mora in the Dorim understands the Biyosi. It's called that, which is that's the Machlokes in the Biyosi in the Chacham. So Rabbi is saying, no, that's not the Machlokes. That Biyosi agrees that Hefker is truly ownerless. It's not just a heter netilah. But so what's the issue over here? The issue over here is we're concerned that this hefker wasn't truly a hefker at all, and that's how Rava learns. So that's the Rava's point. Again, I don't know why it has to be discussed over here.
You use the word mafkin when you're describing the. I thought he actually like sold it for some, you know, a couple of fruits. He sold it. And there's an Indian opinion here too, right?
Okay, give me which case.
I'm sorry. This case here. In the Dharma, we just thought, with Nekor. I mean, we're talking about Hefker in general, right? There's an Indian term. I'm saying, in terms of a, how does it translate to a sale of an item, like an actual. I guess you can only make it, for example, if I'm selling something to somebody else for the sort of price that's just, I'm just want to give it to this person, but, you know, for
no, that would be a totally different process. The process of being makta something, even for you can give him a tana also. You can give him a tana. You can be makta something as a kenyan for a minimal amount if you agree to it, or you can be makta with them. Each one.
Okay, so the case here is he was makta.
The case over there in the dorm was he was makta.
Okay, I thought I heard.
Right.
Makta. I'm sorry. Okay.
But the case of the story of Beis Karan was a hakno. He gave it as a matana. The parallel is, I mean, it's not really a perfect parallel in the cases. The point of the parallel is just like in the case of Maisa Biskaran, what he did was give it as a matana, but he didn't really give it as a matana.
Did he say so? Does he have to say it?
He said he gave it as a matana.
He said it.
Yeah. Right. The Rishonim grapple with that. I mean, there's a concept called the Dvorim Shebalei Ben Dvorim. That what the person's thinking is irrelevant. It's what he said. So he said, I gave his matana. It's a matana. Right? So the issue which the Rishonim grapple with is something called beliba belev kol adam. If it's totally obvious from the situation what the person's thinking, even if he did not verbalize it, it's the equivalent of verbalizing it. Right? So that rule, which that the worm shall live in the worm, that we don't care what you thought, it's what you said, it's all as important, that's not really true. There are scenarios which it's totally obvious, even though you didn't say a word about it, but everybody knows what you're thinking. That's equivalent of saying it.
That's not how it's like, we all know in our, that's what I'm kind of, we all know, and we're saying it's a real sale. It is a real sale, but we all know there's that.
No, the argument.
I guess around comments, that's
okay. So the argument over there by Mechiras Chometz is because it's a binding sale with, you know, we do enough kinyanim to every single kinyan in the book. I mean, literally, it's a standard way of doing it. Even though I just recently had a Rav ask me a shayla, he says we do every single kinyan in the book. One of the kinyanim is handshake. He said he's doing it with a woman. Should he? I said no handshake. Okay, you know, give me a whole handshake. But we do every single kinyan. That's possible, but the point over there is we assume that really people do mean it, because of the karma of the Isra that they don't, they definitely do mean it. There is a shaila in the poskim called Rotzi B'Kiyumot. There is by certain Isra, and all the more introduces a concept that even though it's not yours, but you want it to exist, and by Chometz that's Osir. So. The person deal with the case of so person works as a bagger. I remember I have this halacha advice. A person works as a bagger in a grocery store. He needs to work in a non-Jewish grocery store. He needs to work in Chol HaMoed. So he's not. It's not his chometz. He's bagging chometz for people. But for those 3 seconds that the chometz is in his hands. Until it gets into the bag, he wants it to. He doesn't want anything to happen to it, because he'd be responsible to pay for it. So he's right to be kiyuma. He's not a sharmer even. He doesn't get a dinei shmir, but he would have. He wants it to exist for that moment. And what happens afterwards, he couldn't care less. So that's the problem. Is that a common? There's such a concept called rotzi b'kiyumo. So one of the problems that you have is, so theoretically, you know, I sold to the goy. If the goy pays for it, I really don't care. You know, otherwise, when I'm afraid the goy might pay for it. Okay, good. So that's an issue which I need to work out. But batsim, I don't mind selling it, theoretically. Okay, that's true in many scenarios. I'm a bakery, and I have 5,000 pounds of flour, which is. The assumption in modern day flour is safek chametz, because in the process they expose it to water in the grinding process, they wash it, so it's possible that it's actually chametz. So I sell it to the goy. The goy says, you know what, I'm willing to pay for it. So he comes back to the Motzi Pesach and he says, okay, the flour is worth, we make estimation the flour is worth $10,000. Here's $10,000. The guy says, no. Because I need this flour to make bread, and I'm going to make $50,000 on the bread tonight. So I don't want your money. But yeah, but I'm giving you a fair price for the flour. But I don't want that. I want my flour back. Aha, so that's where it's making you money. That's where you have the problem. Now, that's the most challenging case. Or the innkeeper with the whiskey. The guy says, I'll pay you for the whiskey. He says, yeah, but I don't want you to pay for this. I want to sell it in the inn at, you know, at the market, you know, with the retail price for much more than that. So those are problems. The person really grappled with why those cases work. So historically, they would actually give it to the goy. So if you gave it to the goy, you gave it to the goy, you know. But if you keep it in your possession, quote unquote, you know, how does that work? Yeah, but so is that? Can you argue that in most cases we assume that there's no problem of what the person's thinking. Okay.
I mean, the roots of its chemo issue. I mean, it would seem on the surface it's different than, let's say, an Avodah Zarah, right, which is also to the whole world. And but Chametz, you know, insofar as a non-Jew, well, we don't care. That's fine. I mean, it's not as though we don't want it to exist in the world with respect to Goyim. So the bagger, I'm not sure why you'd necessarily...
Okay, but I have no specific interest, not interest. Normally, but for those moments, I do. The source is Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi grapples with: can a person take chometz of hefker and feed a hefker animal? Yerushalmi says no, because once I'm showing interest, I want to feed the animal. So now I want the animal to have this chometz deed.
Yeah, that I understand. I mean, the bagger, he doesn't really care.
He does, because he has to pay for those 3 seconds. The second, for the moment, is in his hand until it gets into the bag. Yeah. He's responsible. He doesn't have a dinner of a shimer. A person who's a shimer, that then becomes his chametz. He's not a shimer, but if something happens to it, he wants it to safely land in that bag. You know, because if it doesn't, it affects his salary. Okay. So the Mishnah said.
One thing you touched on, flour, the suffix chametz these days.
Yeah.
So for matzah that's not shmura matzah from tzira, what do we do?
When they do the tchina process, they don't buy flour. The Poskim spoke about the species is in when you need shmir from Mishas Ksira, Mishas Tachina, or Mishas Lisha. So they would buy Kemach from the Shuk. They would just buy Kemach and they would just do shmir from Mishas Lisha. We say that's not an option nowadays. Because you can't just buy Kemach from the Shuk. Because you would have to at least from the time of the tchina has to be done by the Jews. You would buy it as grain. So the Mishnah said the Tanakhama says the shear is 30 days. Yehuda said by Yisrael it's 1 month, and it's. Yikayim and Shnaim Yotzi. By Karen, it's 2 and 3. It's 2 months. So Mor says, "Fred Markasha Hanatan the Kama." In the case of the Yisrael, it's the same shear. Mor says, "Amr Abaya Kehenas Asulash Minin Kehenas Amr Minin," meaning the wife of a Kohen. You're right. In regards to the shear of Yisrael, it's the same shear. Rabbi Amr no Chodesh Molei veChodesh Chasu Ikebenayu. In the case where the month is only 29 days, there's a difference. Okay. Amr Rav, Loi Shana Elabim Mefarish, this that we have a right to wait 30 days or a month, or Kayan, 2 months, it's all talking about the person said explicitly that the Neder is only for that amount of time. Okay. But if he makes it unlimited, we don't say, listen, let's wait for the next 30 days, maybe he'll be mad to the netter. Once it's in a situation she's perceiving that this is unlimited, the mental anguish is such that we say, I'm sorry, no, she has a right to sue for divorce. Shmulam Rafila Bastam Lo Yotzi Shami Yimsa Pesach L'Nidroi. So no, well, let's wait and see. Maybe he'll be mad to the netter. Okay, the more asked the question, if Ligu Bochadazim, we have this argument before, Rabbi Shmuel had the same argument. Now we had this Gemara before, the flip Gemara of this before, on that Mishnah over there, that not a matter is Ishtar Mitash Shemitah, Bisham Ramashay Shabbos, Bisham Shabbos Achas. So Bisham says, wait 2 weeks. Basil says, wait 1 week. Vamarav, Machlokis b'mefarish. This all Machlokis is if the person said explicitly, according to Beit Hillel, the matter of Tashmish for 1 week. She says, okay, so then we say wait. But in the case of Stam, and Beit Shammai says, no, even if he said 2 weeks, Beit Hillel says, 2 weeks already is too long. Stam, Yotzi La'alta Rizin Ksuba, but everybody agrees in the case of Stam, even though he might be mad to the netter, but right now the situation is such that there's this unlimited isser. Everybody agrees that it's grounds for divorce immediately. Shmuel Amar Afilu B'Stam Nami Lo Yotzi Shema Yimsa Pesach L'Nidroi. So we have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel in regards to the case of Mutar Hanoah by food and Mutar Hanoah by Tashmish. It's the same Machlokes. Where it says, so why do we need both arguments? The Itmer Bahi, if they would only argue about the case of Tashmish, I would say Bahi Kamar Rab, that's what Rab said as a locha, Mishum Deloy Efshir Beparnas, there's no other option. Alba Bahad Efshir Beparnas, but over here, which she can, there's a way to figure out support for her. Eba Moedele the Shmuel, so then maybe Rab would agree with Shmuel and say, you know what, let's wait and see what happens. Because meanwhile, there's what to do. Okay. So therefore, we said, even over here, Rav argues. So fine, so just argue over here. V'itmer b'ho, if we just have the machlokes over here by the case of the Mezonos, I would say, b'ho, kamar Shmuel. The only time Shmuel said is Allah, is mishum the efshir b'parnas. Abihi, ema modele the Rav. By the case of Tashmish, I would think he would agree to Rav. That even if there's no time limit, immediately it's grounds for divorce immediately. Shecha, therefore, we need Shmuel to say over there. Even over there, Shmuel says, "Let's wait and see." We had the same Gemara before. This is just the Gemara was going on that mission. Okay, so Rashi, Hanatanakama, Diyonami Shloshim Yom Kamer. The Tanakama said 30 days, and he says a month. So Sabai says, you're right, they're not arguing that point. They're arguing in regards to the case of a woman married to a Kayan. Rabbi says, Ikmanau the Chaser. The Mefarish, Shapiris L'Shloshim Yom, he said for 30 days. Who, Deloy Kafina Le Lohitzi, Yamid Parnas. That's when we Besson does not enforce her rights, enforce him to divorce her. But Besson says, let's wait. You can make a Parnas, let's wait. Okay. Tanan, back in the more 2 dots. And then our Mishnah continues and says, the matter is Yisrael Shalatitim Echel Mikol HaPeiris Yotib Yitin Ksuva. Okay, so a person makes that she can't have any, this item, so he has to divorce her. So the Mishnah does not say make a partners to, for her to have that item. It just says Yotib Yitin Ksuva. So why is it even in the ratio? Bishlam of the Rav, the difference is Kan B'Stam, Kan B'Mefarish. The difference is the case, whether it was a case of Stam, which is that's this case, and the case of the ratio was a case of Mefarish, and that's why it's Mutter. El Shmuel Kasha. So the Mor says, it's a question on Shmuel. Mor answers, Hachamah Eskinah, Kigarn, Shenodra, He, V'Kayim, Lo, Ihu. She made the neder, like Rashi said in the Mishnah. She made the neder, and the husband had affirmed it. Miksaber Meir, who knows in etzba bein shineha? The Tanakam over here, it doesn't say who it is. It just says it's Rabbi Yehuda argues the Tanakam is her mayor. Okay. So even though, even though she bit, but he put his finger there, which means it's his responsibility. So he's held responsible for the situation, for being Mekayimit.
She wanted it. He agreed to it.
Correct.
It's not focused, right? I mean, we have this before.
Correct. There's more going to go through it right now. I'm saying, but the Tanakhama says that the fact that she wanted it, she set up the situation, but he fell into the situation, and now he's responsible. Okay. The Mor says the Besaver Meir who knows in Etzben Shinel that he's the one who's held responsible. But Tanya, he should not have been Nazir. Veshama Bala Veloy Heferla. Okay, so the husband became aware of it and did not respond. So Remeir Behuda Imrim, he nos the etzabin shinah. It was her fault. She made the Naziris, and the fact that the husband wasn't made for it, that's not diminishing her culpability in the situation. Doesn't write to say, I don't want a wife who has a netter, and therefore he divorces her. He has grounds for divorce, and he doesn't have to pay ksuba. Well, yeah, but you should have been made for when you heard about it. So it's your fault. So how can you then say, well, you know, hey, she made a netter, and therefore I have a wife which I don't like, and I want to divorce her without a ksuba. You had an option of addressing it, but you chose not to. We said, yeah, but she started it, so it's her responsibility. Rabbi Elazar, I mean, who knows an etzav in Chanel, he, by not being made for, chose to have the situation. Then he can't turn around and say, well, I'm upset about the situation, and it's, you know, I don't have to make ksuba. Okay, therefore, if he had an option of being made for, he should have been made for, and he didn't do it. Then he says, "Be mamar, he actually he should run this fine, yotzi, but he thinks suba. He has to pay suba. See, he's all responsible." So, getting back to the mission over here, the case was the case that she made the netter on the payers, and he was Mekayim. So why would that be a right for him to divorce her without a ksuba? Carter Mayer. So over here, she made the netter, and then he said, he's Mekayim. Over here, the issue is over here, she's suing for divorce. Right? So, according to the mayor, if we see in that case over there that she's held responsible, she has no right to use as a suit for divorce. Okay. So Morris says it's a kasha. Epech Remeir Rabbi Huda. Epech, we should switch it around. That Remeir Rabbi Huda Omrim Hunoy Saint, in the case which we just quoted, by the case of the Nozer, it's his responsibility. So it's his responsibility over here, where she's suing for divorce, it's his responsibility. So she has a right to sue for divorce. Rabbi Lozer Omrim He Nosna, that it's her responsibility. In that case over there, and therefore he has the right to divorce her without a ksuva. And that would mean in this case, in our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yosi Belozer, that she made the netter, she can't turn around and say, how dare my husband not be made for, and therefore I want to get divorced from him. Okay. More specific, Rabbi Yosi, he knows not. Is that true that Rabbi Yosi holds that it's her responsibility? Matanan. Later on in the Mishnah, says, Rabbi Yosi Amrim Baniyos, Shalonos and Kitzvah. So, that in the case of the perfume, the cosmetic, so Rabbi Yosi agrees that there is a, she has a right to get, to sue for divorce, depending what the case is, you know, but he puts his time limits, etc., but it's she made the netter. So she made the netter, so why does she have a right to turn around to the husband and say, how dare you not be made for it, and you have to divorce me? So you see, according to the Beresi, in the Mishnah, the Beresi holds that's his responsibility. And now you're saying in the Beresi, the Beresi, you're suggesting we should switch around the Beresi, and the Beresi should say it's her responsibility.
Sensibility from her. I mean, basically, we're
saying we don't know what she's saying. She doesn't know what she's saying. It's his responsibility to set her straight,
basically.
Yes and no. The point is that even if he comes along and says that this is something which I'm not happy with, well, you had a way to deal with it, right? She also had a way to deal with it, but the fact that he chose not to deal with it is an argument against him. That she has a right to say, there's going to be. There's a certain statement which has been taking place in his part when he says this is what he wants, which at the end of the day she can use against him. Yeah, it's not his responsibility, but there is a statement on his part that he is enjoying the fact that his wife is afflicting herself.
So he could have fixed the situation, so to speak. Choosing not to fix it ends up bearing some responsibility.
Correct. Okay, let's hold it here.